Welcome to season 5 of Swiss Impact with Banerjee. I'm Sveta.
And I am Ben. The topic of season 5 is impactful investments. How can you make a difference with your capital?
Our guests, who are managing impact investment funds, business owners, thought leaders, will empower you to invest with impact.
In this season, we will showcase various impact investment funds who are contributing to SDGs, better known as Sustainable Development Goals, as defined by the United Nations.
There is no excuse. Shift your capital to create positive change in our world. Your children will be happier, you will feel fulfilled, and make money.
We will broadcast every Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Central European Time, here on Swiss Impact with Banerjee. You get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone.
Welcome back to season 5, episode 11, dedicated to impactful investment opportunities.
And we would like to dedicate our show of today to Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II. In my opinion, not only she was an amazing person, leader, and the queen of a great nation. To me, it feels as if a chapter of history closed with her passing away.
Yes, she was the only world leader today who had experienced living through the dark times of Europe and fighting for her values. Once again today, when dark clouds are gathering on the horizon of all civilized nations from many sides, her leadership and rock-solid presence will be missed.
And we know that many of you are watching us on one of the three channels, like social media, smart TV, and podcasts. And if you want to keep updated with the old and the new upcoming programs, then please subscribe to our YouTube channel, Swiss Impact.
Yes, indeed. That is promoting and supporting businesses, entrepreneurs who were already on TV show. So please subscribe and watch even more if you didn't watch all the episodes at the moment. And remember that you should share it with your family, friends, colleagues, so the world gets to know about inspiring impact investment opportunities and people who are behind those. And before, Ben, I want to invite you to share your story. I want to share a little my story today, because this week I was a speaker at a career path event from CFA in Zurich. And it just confirmed that our mission to make impact investing the new normal in the financial industry is what people and financial institutions need. On one side, impact investing, when well explained, attracts minds and hearts immediately, and professionals want to change their career path in this direction. But then the troubles of education and finding a job in this area start, right? But I would advise that it would be so good if financial institutions would transform in the direction of impact investing and keep the brilliant minds who are still there, which otherwise would be living to impact investing and not profit only direction. But this is another story. And now I'd like Ben to invite you to share yours.
So on one side, we are all hearing of countries like Pakistan drowning, countries in Europe burning. I mean, I was reading that nearly there's so much hotspots in Europe and so many records this summer has been broken. There are storms in America. And we still keep on hearing from some Republicans. I had the opportunity of sharing a panel with them on the TV last week, claiming that more the CO2 in the atmosphere, the better it is. One of them even cited the example of using higher concentration of CO2 in greenhouse to speed up the growth of flowers. He forgot a minor fact. He does not live in a greenhouse. Anyway, the issue is that despite of what these Trumpers and Republicans may fantasize and hallucinate of and go on supporting the fossil fuel industries, one of the major sectors that climate change is impacting is food security. We were at this WMO where they said that each degree rise in temperature, in the global temperature, will create loss of nearly one-fifth of global food production, next to all other damages, meaning wars, migration, less arable lands, uninhabitable planet to live on, etc. And to make the situation worse, the impact will be worse on global south than on global north.
Please explain that.
Because the fact is that the CO2 emission in the global south is much less per person than CO2 emission in the global north. The reason what you asked is because the global south is already warm. There is a lot of deserts, and these deserts are growing faster and faster. Even in India, I was surprised to hear it was something like 100. We were having a lunch with the head of the Club of Rome, that nearly 100 kilometers or more per year, the desert is growing to the north. So, and India is one of the biggest food producing countries in the world. So this desertification and other problems like the reduction of drinking water and things like this is impacting global south much more at the present than the global north. And what another point which somehow frustrates me is that the media or many populist politicians make it sound like that when we invest in the south, we are giving aid or grant, or we are just wasting the money, instead of the fact that we are investing in ourselves and in our own future, because at the end of the day, we all live on the same blue planet.
Some people still don't understand that.
No, unfortunately not. And of course, there are insecurities and there are exceptions.
Yeah, and one of the good exceptions is actually our guest of today, who is working exactly at this issue of global food insecurity. With this, I'd like to welcome Iro Pisila from the company Perunami Starit, which means potato master. So welcome, Iro Pisila, to our studio. Hi, Iro.
Hi.
Welcome. Where are you right now?
I am in Finland. I'm in Helsinki now. But as I told, most of time last years, I have been in Tanzania, in Africa.
In Africa. Wow. It's amazing and very inspiring. We didn't have yet an entrepreneur who is dedicating his work to potatoes. And Ben, I think there is some kind of conspiracy here. How come so many extremely amazing and impactful companies are coming from your favorite country, Finland?
So you understand, this is the reason why it is my favorite country. They always come up with the most amazing products and services.
Great. Iro, before we start, I'd like to introduce you to our audience who doesn't know you yet. So, Iro Pisila, you are the managing director of Perunami Starit and Tanzanese Agro Foods, and also chairman of Luonnosto Finland. I hope I pronounce those words right.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
Great. You studied agrotechnology at Helsinki University and since then have been a very special person, potato farmer, entrepreneur, and we are honored to have you with us today. You're a brilliant entrepreneur and founder of Perunami Starit, who is existing since 1987. The company has built in 90s seed potato production and marketing model from Finnish farms to global markets. And Perunami Starit includes four companies which operate at different stages of the potato supply chain from seed production to consumer products. And annually, if someone is asking how much do they produce, you process 60 to 80 million kilograms of potatoes. Wow, that's really
a lot.
But I also want to mention that you are chairman of Luonnosto Trading Company since 2005, building efficient international trading model for potatoes, not only fruits and vegetables. And last but not least, you also founded Tanzanese Agro Foods in 2017, where investor and chairman of Pohjolan Peruna, Finland's biggest potato processing company or factory, still 2021. So that's all from my side, but we want to hear more from you, how it all comes. What's your story behind the potato entrepreneurship?
Yeah, actually, it's so that when we begin to speak about potato, it sounds like it's quite boring thing.
Yes.
But for me, it has been like a plant of my life. I started potato farming on 70s, and since that, it has been like, you know, in India, there is gurus who fly on a carpet, and potato yeah. for me, like the thing to fly around the world and build worldwide networks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what is my specialty? My background is like, Sveta, you told, it's from farm. But what I have been doing is just build the value chains to find what the consumers need. And that's my specialty.
And why potato?
Sorry?
Why potato? Why not other agriculture?
Yeah, that's a deep question, but it's my love.
But you can do so much. You can make chips. You can make all kinds of green
smashed
things.
Potatoes as you can, kids, I think. We all love that.
And I think you can even make alcohol out of it.
I guess so. I guess.
Yeah, but so that why I'm now here in this interview is that Ben spoke about the climate change and CO2 emissions, and it's a quite difficult combo to combine the increasing the food production at the same time lower the CO2 emissions, and potato is the answer for that. It's a lot better than many other food crops, mm-hmm. If we compare to the CO2 emissions. That's let's say the core of my story now.
Cool. And why do you think, is food security a future problem, or is it a problem already now?
Yeah, you know what is happening in Africa. There is many areas which are, because of the climate change, the rains are late. But our operating area in southern Tanzania, on southern highlands, it has a high rain. And one reason for that, why we are there, is that we see that the nature there, it's able to produce food for whole East Africa, because the water is the limiting factor, and this area is really the area where there's water much enough on rainy season.
Right, but let's talk a bit more about the company itself, Peronama Starit. Besides that, it's Potato Master. Can you tell us more about what exactly Peronama Starit is doing?
Actually, Peronama Starit is like the mother company for these two subsidiaries, where the actions are. Luonnosta is their marketing network. I'm interested to build the value chains, and Luonnosta is really connecting the production, having the good network, global network, where is the production, and then connecting it to the needs. And to Africa, we need the same model. There is production, but the need and production doesn't meet.
Yeah. Right.
In India also, it's the same. The logistics sometimes is a nightmare.
Yeah, I think logistics is not the bottleneck. Those trucks and the logistics, okay, but the market structure, it's a bottleneck. There is no some kind of sales center or call center like in Luonnosta. There are six people trading maybe 30 million kg of different products from 10 countries to 20 countries. So this is the key issue, that we are masters in knowledge, in information. Where are the clients, where is the need, and where is the production?
Can you tell us a bit more about Lunosta and Tanzanese? What kind of challenges they are tackling?
Well, the background why I'm Tanzania is that that I came there with a government project as a specialist, potato specialist. 2012 to 2015, there was a seed potato project founded by the Finnish government, and I went there. And you asked the challenges, and in development work, many times there is spoken about the money. And when I went to the small villages there, I felt like on 50s in my home village in Finland. So what is needed there is that those very nice people, very nice nature, lot of nature resources. But the question is that there is no or very low competence to go ahead with how to grow, how to market, how to develop things there. So the challenge is competence in Tanzania.
Yeah.
We have to build the bridges of competence from Northern Europe to Tanzania, and we have experience now. We have been there 5 years, and we have quite strong experience now how to do.
And is the weather for growing potatoes in Tanzania better than in Finland, or how does it stand?
Yeah, weather in on Tanzanian highlands, it's very good for potato. You know that potato comes originally from the mountains of Peru. Mm-hmm. And for example, the best potato growing areas on Tanzania are on an altitude like 2,000 meters. Between 1,500 to 2,000 meters from sea level, so it's very optimal for potato and water enough on rainy season, and lot of sun. So I can say that there's a huge potential of potatoes on southern highlands of Tanzania.
Okay.
Maybe Switzerland can also grow in the mountains some potatoes. Never seen that though.
Yeah.
And I was reading that monocultures have a negative impact on the soil and on the environment. And do you have any strategies to prevent that?
Yeah, which you asked?
Monocultures.
Monocultures, yeah. Yeah, that's true. And we are working with the smallholder farmers there, and those other crops like the small farms, there's a field rotation with, for example, maize and beans and so on, and it's possible to handle. And we have in our team a good expertise for handle this kind of things. And also, for example, now we all know the problems with fertilizers and the high price of the energy. We can develop there the rotation of nutrients. For example, we have now there also this avocado farms, and they are certified organic farms. The nutrition comes not from the fertilizers, it comes from the compost, and the nutrient rotation is there. So it's a very short time to tell everything what we have experienced there during 5 years, but why I'm telling this is that this area, it's an amazing area. You know that water is one limiting factor in food production. And that's what we see there. More than 1,500 millimeters annual rain, even avocados, which need a lot of water. We don't need the irrigation. These are rainwater avocados. So This is great.
And these avocados are also from Perunam Estarit.
Yeah, actually, we are there. Developed the production team with the 400 smallholder farmers in Tanzania, and we built a very simple and straight value chain to the European market, with a sea freight from Africa to Rotterdam, and then from Rotterdam delivery to many European countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're not just a potato entrepreneur, you are fruits, vegetables entrepreneur. The whole food, what is needed for someone to survive is here, looks like.
Yeah. Actually, behind this avocado story is one our Tanzanian worker who was here as a trainer in Finland. And he said that you have such kind of network of market in Europe. Why you don't bring avocados from Tanzania, because there is production? And I was not, no, we have potato company. but finally she managed to convince that we have to try and then we started. Now we can be proud that we have influenced in 9 village to around 400 farmers' life, so that they have got let's say, rise of the living standards there. Mm-hmm. And we are looking for forward, so that we can multiply this story, especially in Tanzania, but it's the same issue also in some other East African countries, which is possible to develop this kind of value chains from the farmers to the global market.
So are the farmers then paid based on the fair trade scheme, or like what makes you so special, you know, as a company, in terms of impact, environmental and social impact?
I think that our basic story was so that when we started with avocados in Southern Highlands, the quality was quite low, and also there was the prices for the farmers were very, very low. And the key issue was that farmers were producing organic, but they didn't know that they are producing organic.
There
came some middlemen to buy and giving small money them. And we built a system. And also, there is quite some funny things that now 95% of our farmers, they are getting money through banks, and they are very happy. So that when the money is coming through bank, the robbers cannot rob them, like sometimes happens that when the middleman came and gave big money.
Yeah.
So, and also the education, we have trained and organized the certificates like GRASP, SMETA, Social Response Certificate, Global Gap, and all this, they need the training of farmers. The working methods, hygiene, and so many things. So it's a big influence, wide influence to the farm level, to the village level, and yeah, this is something very, very motivating to see this development there.
And that's nice.
And are you also promoting sustainable farming practices?
Yeah, of course. We have the this organic certification, and we have a local agronomist working there, and compared to, let's say, big plantations in South America and Middle America, our production is totally different. So it's like balance with the local culture and local habits, and also with the nature. So we want to build something special so that there's no feeling for the European consumers that we are just like robbing something from the south. But we are getting something amazing products and also giving some opportunities to the farmers in south.
That sounds really great, Eero. I'm really excited to know about your activities. Can you tell us also why this certification is so important for farmers or for supply chain? Why it is like that? Why it's important?
Without certificate, the doors of the big supermarket chains are not opening. It's like a key. It's no idea to go to knock the door of the big supermarket chains in Europe and tell that, well, I have avocados for sale. They say that, well, come back when you have this global gap, when you have Smeta, when you have organic, then we can discuss further. And this is what we have organized, and we can offer to Tanzanian farmers. This is one part of this competence transfer.
And have you also implemented regenerative agriculture strategies?
Well, this is maybe the question which we have to pass. We have to.
No problem. Yeah. I mean, it's always a way, right? Maybe in the future.
And sorry?
Maybe in the future you will dive deeper into that topic with your companies. I mean, changing from potato to avocados and other crops is already a big step. And regenerative agriculture strategies, it's becoming more and more popular. Mm. Not everyone is yet into that.
And another thing is that the cooling facilities, we know, are very, very energy intensive. How are you testing that?
Yeah. The maybe our main target for this investment is the cool storages for potatoes. And the thing is that production is possible on rainy season. And then when everybody has potatoes, there's also potatoes rotting to the villages because there is no market. And like in worldwide also, the post-harvest questions are influencing the big losses for the food. And we have made research, and we have the solution so that we can build some kind of basic model of the cool storage of potatoes. And in Southern Highlands, they can be like low energy, working by the solar energy. It's a huge opportunity. And now we are trying to build the model and test it. And when it works, it can have a big influence to the food losses, the losses, and supporting the food security. And also, if you think about the Eastern Africa need of foods, we have to build a year-round supply of potatoes. Otherwise, we are not a good supplier. Yeah. Whenever somebody calls, we have to have potatoes.
Of course. And which one are actually sold more, the certified organic or conventional products?
We are focused on the organic avocados. This all 400 farmers are certified for organic, but sometimes there is a request of conventional avocados, and we can buy from other farms also small quantities, but we are focused to the organic, making the Tanzanian brand.
Exactly.
And in which countries do you then sell it? Like, do we also eat your avocados maybe in Switzerland or?
Actually, I don't know if there is our avocados in Switzerland, but they are, most of them, they are coming to Rotterdam, and they're the European wholesalers. They sell, what I know, at least France, Spain, Greece, Germany, Sweden, Finland, Denmark. But, well, our quantities are still more, quite small, less than 1 million kg per year, but we are looking for growth, and we hope that we can offer the, let's say, avocados which cannot hurt the nature.
Yeah.
So.
And how do you manage gender equality issues in the context of agriculture? Are you also looking into that? Like we know that in Africa, a lot of farming is done by women.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And small farmers, like I, at the moment, near 50% of our farmers who are producing, they are women. And also we have carried out a quite big training program of potato farmers, and there near 50% of those 4,000 potato farmers are women.
Okay. I mean, women are good, of course. I also in my childhood grew a lot of potatoes helping my parents.
Yeah.
So absolutely, yeah. But manpower is also needed by growing different crops, for sure. Another question, because, you know, we know that your products are carefully selected. And what is then done to the ones who didn't pass the quality standards? Because there is a food waste going on. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, for example, I can tell more about avocados. One key issue is that now we see many times in Europe that when we buy avocados, the quality is not good.
I think
that. When we buy them from the supermarket, they don't ripen. They begin to rot. And the reason for that is that they are harvested too early. They are not matured enough, and we have in our organization the trained harvesting group, and we are measuring the dry matter, which is the indicator of the ripening. And this is very, very important, that when the clients get the avocados, they are expensive, everyone have to be eatable. The key issue is this dry matter as a indicator of the ripening.
Okay, I didn't know that. Good to know. Yes,
yeah, exactly.
Because indeed some avocados don't get ripened, and then you're like, okay, you can, you can just throw them away. You know, it's waste, complete waste of resources. Okay, great. But talking about your needs and what you're looking for, you say that you plan to grow. So what is your plan for the next 5 years, and what do you need? Are you looking for investments?
Yes. When I was there during the public project, I was looking that, and I know also that there's a lot of money carried to Africa for different development projects and so on. And because I'm a farmer, I was looking that, what is the impact of this money? And now I'm thinking that money is like a fertilizer. If you put too much fertilizer to the soil and there is no seeds, it's poison, even poison. Yes. And now we have, during these 5 years, we have grown or created the seeds of the business there. There is now the value chains from villages to the neighbor countries as a potato, and there's a value chain from Southern Highland villages to the consumers to the Europe. So these are like the seeds, pilots. We know how it works. We have created the cash flow from Europe to Africa, which is very important. It's different money which comes from the pockets of the consumers than the money which comes from the free money.
Yeah.
And it's activating also the farmers. They know when they grow more and they develop the quality. There's so many issues why the like this business money is important. And now we are in a position where we trust that we, if we get fertilizers to these seeds, we can grow. And there's a huge potential, especially in potatoes in East Africa. The bottleneck is the cool storages, storaging the seed potatoes, and of course then further go to the potato processing. So we can estimate that impact of this fertilizer, this investing money, can really change the food security there in East Africa. It can be like a catalytic. There's no limits for the growth of the kind of agriculture. And through this experience there, we think that we know the bottlenecks where we need these fertilizers. I mean, the investing money.
So how much?
Yeah, this what we are now planning is just for the cool storages and packing stations and so on. And this plan is including 30 million euros investment plan during next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you are you looking for just financial investor who will give the money, or are you looking for strategic investor who will also grow together with you, who maybe also be a farmer or who also may be an agriculture company and who can use your products and support and work together with you?
Both. So that I think that this is so important that if there is some investors who are linked to this agro products, I'm interested to cooperate. I'm supporting all cooperation. What I have been doing is that I have been building the networks, cooperation during my life. But yeah. To open the bottlenecks, it's just the investing money.
Yeah. And have you also considered, like, there are a lot of aid organizations or government organizations from Europe who are more focused on developing infrastructure? For example, they can tell you that they will set up the cooling centers, or they will invest and create the cooling and you supply and you use those centers for your potato. Will that also help?
I'm very interested for that. At the moment, we have had some small project with the Finnish government and also this potato farmers training program. It has been carried with USAID. Financing by USAID. So we are very cooperative, and if the focus is to make something great, we have to cooperate. It's not the one man. This is not the one man show.
Exactly. Absolutely. And if you mentioned the amount of 30 million, are you looking for it as an equity investment or also as a loan or a combination?
Do you know exactly
debt and equity you are looking for?
Sorry?
Like, if you, from 30 millions, how much of that would you like to get as an equity part and how much as a debt? 50-50 or 30% debt, 70 equity?
I think that this will be the one item of negotiations. It depends on so many things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then maybe we should go further into the company. So about the company, so how do you differentiate yourself from your competitors, or who are your biggest competitors?
I think that in potatoes, we are in a very special position. There is some potato companies, in our team, we have the unique competence, especially over the whole value chain. And my colleague there, he's a potato scientist and being the director of Finnish Potato Research Institute. So we can offer just the needed key how to go ahead with this big opportunity of potatoes. There is good companies who can support one part of the value chain, but our experience and our value is that we know something about whole value chain, and we want to share this competence to East Africa, make something happen.
Eero, how big is your team actually? Because you're working since 1987. Do you know it by heart?
There has been many people working in a company, and I have bought some companies and I have sold companies, but now my specialty is that I have been trusting on young people. For example, I have been recruiting four CEOs who are below 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And some of those, they have done great job, and also they have grown make afterwards a big business. Mm-hmm. And now what I see is that we have in Tanzania, we have both. We have young local people there, and then also we have some like senior expertise from Europe to make this competence sharing.
Okay, so I see you have a big team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how would you define your business model? I mean, we can imagine how it is, but maybe you can quickly explain it, your business model.
Concerning this, what we are looking in Africa is that we need to know where is the potential of the production, where are the natural resources, and then we need to know where are the clients, and then we have to build the value chain between those ends, and the model is tested with this Luonnosta company in Europe. And we want to create this model systems in East Africa also. It's giving the opportunities to not only to Tanzania, but I think that also for some other countries in future.
Right. So you plan to keep also social and environmental aspects, of course, considered when you plan, when you will implement the new farms in other countries?
I think that the best social development is that the farmers, they get the good price for their products.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. they get the support for the competence building for them. So what I have realized there is that if there is competence, the money comes after that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the best development work.
Yeah.
Farmers, they find that we are something.
Yeah.
We know something, and we get money paid for that. Not so that we are asking something from somewhere, but we can do. We are able.
Exactly.
That's something which I'm proud that those the different feeling in villages to see mm-hmm. that.
And I was just thinking, so for example, if an investor comes and mm-hmm. says, okay, I am a farmer from, say, from India. Mm-hmm. I'll invest in your business, but you have to do the same in India. Would you be open to that?
that's a very surprising question, but you know that I can say that let's talk. I will look.
No, because we have had it sometimes that investors come and say, we want to invest, but we want to see the same product or the same service in our country.
Yeah. I'm open to listen. We have exported also something to India. We have some experience. And we are looking that this food production, it's now a global question.
Yeah,
now exactly. We are coming to the time where the, let's say, the real production and like basic industry, food production, energy, they are rising now in a value. And if there's something to give to somewhere, and we can do something, why not? But now what I'm looking is that we have the huge opportunity in East Africa.
Yeah, exactly. And the fund you're looking for will be mainly for the cooling centers and everything, or would you be using also part of the money to grow your production capacity?
Yeah, the opportunity is that when we started with avocados, we were supplying organic avocados to some clients, they begin to ask that. Is there some other products also? Can we find something else there? And now we are doing also the product development so that there might be opportunities to export, for example, ginger from Africa, from East Africa, from Tanzania. And why not? Everything starts from the market. If there is a interested clients. And our quality, our price, and those are okay. We can offer opportunities to Tanzanian farmers. That's our big mission, that connect mm-hmm. production to the clients and market.
You know, I just want my understanding, because you mentioned education. So you work with 400 farmers, and then you have kind of a hub where all of them deliver their products, and then you gather it together. And maybe there you have education center where you provide competences to some farmers to make crops higher or in a sustainable way. How exactly does it work?
We have several agronomists in our company. Specialists who just go by motorbike to the farms.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's working hand by hand. Mm-hmm. We are gathering the experience and knowledge from the world, different parts of the world, and then we are sharing this knowledge in villages and in farm level. That's the cooperation. I have said in Tanzania that I have a farmer's heart. I know what the farmers think, and I remember from my childhood, even in our village, how the agronomist from what is the center? I don't remember the English name, but they came to the village. They made the courses, and farmers were listening there, and. I have seen the development in villages in Finland, and I want to see the same in Tanzania.
Right. That's amazing.
And are you planning to grow and reach out to more new potential customers? And if yes, then what kind of marketing strategies are you using?
Yes, that's the, let's say, without new customers, we cannot offer the opportunities to more farmers. And as I told, avocado has some bad reputation with a lot of water consumption. And now I can tell that I'm fond of the system in Tanzania, so that we can say that Tanzanian avocados are rainwater avocados.
Mm-hmm.
And how we can then tell this to all European consumers, this is our challenge. We have to make the program. And nowadays we find new customers all the time. The reputation will tell, and I'm happy that even during this this season we have got several new customers. And also we are opening soon the new subsidiary in UK. UK is a big consumer of avocados. Yeah. And this is a nice system, so that when we can create a good quality in Tanzania, then this quality and this story, they are touching to the consumers in Europe, and the story will go ahead, and new consumers come to buy our avocados.
Okay. And, and is Peru Name Started also relying on partners for the execution of its services, or are you looking for new partners?
Yes, we are, as I said, we are open for the cooperate, yeah, that's the strategy. There's very little things which we can do alone as a company or as individuals. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. And Erik, how can our audience support you? Do you have social media? Maybe they can like avocados, which are rain avocados.
Yeah, there's in Instagram we have Tanzanize Agrofoods. Tanzanize Agrofoods. You can try to find in Instagram. There's something, and well, there's a lot of things to do as a farmer.
Tell us.
I'm a different generation. So I'm happy to be there with the farmers and develop this kind of practical things. But like now, what we are doing, we are just telling to the many, many people that what we are doing there and what are the opportunities. I have to develop this. That's a good question and a good proposal.
You can get a new young person for that. I'm sure they will spread the message around.
Yeah.
Nowadays they are so good, you know, much better than even me, you know. Even though I'm quite young, still the younger generation is even much better.
Welcome to Tanzania.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we can even offer there the very close to our place is the famous national park called Ruaha National Park.
Oh, yes, I've heard about that one. Yes.
It's very natural, and it's really amazing to drive around there.
Well, our next vacation will be in Tanzania, I guess.
Yeah. Welcome.
I was thinking of Finland, so now it's again Finland, Tanzania. I have to know which one to go.
Right. Eero, the time is running out. We have just last question to you, which should be a call to action for our global audience. What would you like to say to them?
Oh.
Can be short.
Or long.
But from the heart. Usually it comes from the heart and the patient.
And you're a farmer, so you have so much message to give to the world.
Mm. Yeah. I can say that the world is a beautiful place, and farmers who are working with the nature. And when we do the right things, we can grow together. Not having a conflict with the nature. So this is my big view that nature in Finland, in Africa, and everywhere, we can produce food for the people and have at the same time the taking care of the nature and limiting, like what I told, limiting the climate change. It's not an impossible mission, but we need to know what we do. Thank you for the listening.
That was amazing. That was really great message. Thank you for sharing that.
This was amazing.
We would like to thank you as well for joining us today. And what we can do for you is to give you a honorary membership in Chamomile Impact Community. Please register and our team will send it to you right away, as well as Impact Leader Certificate, because you're a true leader in your industry, and Potato Master and Avocado Master. You maybe need to add it, right?
Change the name of the company.
Yes. Thank you very much. This was a very nice discussion, and I'm happy that I was able to open some new views also for you, not only the other watchers, but even you are the specialized for the impact investors. I was able to open some new views.
Absolutely. We always learn something new from our speakers.
And I learned today a lot about potato, and I even learned about avocado. Now I know better about avocado.
You know the difference, right? Yeah. Now, okay.
And what did you say was the site? That is Tanzanize
Agro Foods. Tanzanize Agro Foods, written together, Instagram.
Okay. Then we should look for it and publish it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Aaron. Wish you a great weekend, and we see you in Tanzania or Finland.
I think that more exciting will be to meet in Tanzania. Welcome to Jombe.
Oh, thank you. How do you go, by the way? You fly directly from Helsinki to...
Yeah, quite often I fly via Amsterdam. It's only 9-hour flight from Amsterdam to Dar es Salaam, and then 14 hours drive by car.
or one and a half hour
flight, and then 4 hours drive. But it's worth coming. Welcome. Karibu. In Swahili, in Tanzania, they say karibu. It means welcome.
Ah, that's karibu. The word. Karibu. Okay.
Karibu, Tanzania.
Karibu Tanzania. Well, yes. Thank you, Aero. Thank you so much. We will find our way there for sure.
Yeah.
So bye for now.
Bye, Aero. See you.
Bye.
So, dear viewers, with this, our amazing and inspiring food show, episode 11 of season 5 ends. Next week, we will have an amazing guest, one of the largest and oldest organizations in the world, focusing on women empowerment around the world, especially in emerging countries.
And please do not forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's easy. youtube.com/Swiss Impact.
Absolutely. And if you think you are impactful enough, contact us and be our next guest on the TV show. Always welcome to have a conversation with you. So you get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact. Bye for now.
Bye, everyone.
Hi, we hope you enjoyed this episode of TV show, Swiss Impact with Banerjee.
Make sure you check out the next one and also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Spotify, podcasts, and any of your favorite social media places.
And please subscribe to our channel so you know when we release new episodes.
And also leave us some feedback to help us grow this awesome impact community and join it.
We look forward to sharing the next episodes with you. And until then, you get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact.